Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. It's been 6 weeks since that terrorist bomb destroyed Pan Am Flight 103 over Scotland. British and U.S. investigators have yet to name any suspects, but CBS News has learned that Syria and Libya were responsible. From London, correspondent Bill McLaughlin has details.
Sources close to the international terrorist movement say they know who was responsible for the destruction of Pan Am Flight 103, the tragedy at Lockerbie. They name Ahmed Jibril, head of the extreme terror faction, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine General Command. They say he was working for Libyan leader Colonel Gaddafi, but would have had to have cleared the operation through Syrian intelligence, as Jibril is a former Syrian officer. In Damascus, a spokesman for Jibril denied his group was involved. And Syrian Defense Minister Mustafa Talas has tried to shift the blame to Israel. In Washington, Secretary of State James Baker last night said he did not know that any responsibility has been determined. Bill McLaughlin, CBS News, London.
Britain's independent radio news reports another ironic angle today, saying the actual explosive was unwittingly carried by a CIA officer on his way back from Beirut. According to this report, terrorists somehow managed to smuggle the bomb into his luggage. Philippine Vice President Salvador Laurel is headed for Honolulu and a meeting at the bedside of the critically ill former President Ferdinand Marcos. Laurel was summoned by Imelda Marcos, who told him her husband is dying and wants to pass messages to President Aquino and the Filipino people. Gemmo Trinidad is a longtime Marcos aide.
My prayer is that he will be able to recover. It is also our prayer that President Marcos, as to whatever condition he might be, will be able to go home to the Philippines.
Mrs. Marcos was also hospitalized after fainting and bumping her head at the hospital. Still nursing a cold and laryngitis, President Bush today has 2.5 hours of talks with Japanese Prime Minister Takeshita, his first foreign visitor. As Wyatt Andrews reports, the tone is expected to be low-key and friendly.
U.S. officials still don't think Japan's defense spending is what it should be and still want further trade concessions. But don't look for scathing criticism of Japan to come from the White House. The White House says this meeting will be far more personal than it will be substantive. On the surface, there are good reasons for strong personal ties. That worked for President Reagan and former Prime Minister Nakasone. And it's important given the strong military and economic alliance. But it's also true these days that the rules have changed between the U.S. and Japan. The U.S. is losing clout. Japan bashing is less of an option. International economist Fred Bergston explains, because Japan is now the chief banker of the U.S. budget deficit, this is an equal relationship.
We depend on them financially, and we therefore have to deal with them to some extent with kid gloves.
The timing of this visit is especially fortunate for Takeshita. His government faces an insider stock trading scandal at home, and meeting President Bush gives him a much-needed political boost. Wyatt Andrews, CBS News, The White House.
More signs of change on the Korean Peninsula. A South Korean business leader says he's reached an unprecedented agreement with North Korean authorities to jointly turn a scenic area in North Korea into a major tourist resort. Chung Ju-young's 10-day visit also produced agreement on other joint projects, including a shipyard and a development in Soviet Siberia. Also today, South Korea opened its first regular direct-dial telephone service to China and the Soviet Union. Vice President Dan Quayle is in Caracas for today's inauguration of Carlos Andres Perez as Venezuela's new president. As CBS News correspondent Phil Jones reports, Quayle is also meeting other hemisphere leaders.
Quayle says he has come with no new policy proposals for the region, but that could cause problems because regional leaders are especially interested in what the Bush administration will do about restructuring payments for the more than $400 billion in debt owed by Latin American countries. Indeed, it was a hot subject during Quayle's meeting with President Perez.
I would say, and those of you know Carlos Andres Perez, that we had a very frank, candid discussion, including the debt.
70% of the people in Venezuela are under the age of 30. The 41-year-old American vice president jokingly said yesterday this is the first time he has visited a country where he is considered an elder statesman. Phil Jones, CBS News, Caracas.
South Africa's President P.W. Botha is still recovering from a mild stroke suffered last month. Today stepped down as leader of the ruling National Party. He's to be replaced by Education Secretary F.W. de Klerk, who's expected to succeed Botha as president. Chances are you'll be a lot colder on this Groundhog Day than you were yesterday. James Satori reports on the barreling Arctic Express.
Arctic air from Alaska turned much of the lower 48 into a treacherous deep freeze yesterday. In Missoula, one man died when his truck smashed into a snowplow. Other parts of Montana saw 100-mile-an-hour gusts and wind chills to 75 below zero. Even hardy Montanans are struggling to keep warm.
They should call this place Siberia, Montana.
I saw a ticket the other day in the paper for $175 to Maui. I just about bought it.
From Seattle to St. Louis and Oklahoma City, the Arctic blaster dropped temperatures as much as 50 degrees. Parts of North Dakota saw blizzard-like conditions and wind chills down to 80 below zero. The governor closed schools for the rest of the week.
They're talking 40 degrees below Fahrenheit and a possible wind chill down to 80 degrees below. That's putting too many kids at risk.
The weather is blamed for a power outage in Valley City, North Dakota. One resident says she spent the night shivering as the thermometer dipped to 17 below.
We are just like freezing in our shoes.
Forecasters say the weather system will reach the mid-Atlantic states by the weekend. Steve Markanen with the National Weather Service.
Florida looks safe. It doesn't look like the cold front will get down there at all. That appears to be the place to go.
And those areas already in the grip of the Arctic freeze can expect some relief, possibly next week. James Hattori, CBS News, Denver.
In Helena, Montana this morning, runaway railroad cars derailed and exploded, knocking out power to 37,000 people and forcing the evacuation of hundreds as the temperature dipped to 37 below zero. Newsman Cato Butler is with our affiliate, KCAP.
The whole sky lit up. I didn't know whether it was some kind of a bolt of lightning or if it was some silo up there at Great Falls that went up. It was a deafening explosion.
There are no reports of injuries. It took more than 100 Tampa police officers to put down a disturbance last night in a predominantly black area after a black drug suspect died in police custody. Crowds attacked police with guns, rocks, and bottles, and at least four officers were injured. The dead suspect, a 6'3", 300-pound man, had struggled with undercover officers before he was subdued. Police say he collapsed in a cruiser and later died at a hospital. New Yorkers gave a friendly welcome to Britain's Princess of Wales as she began her first Big Apple visit last night with a fashion industry reception meant to boost British products. She said nothing in public, but the royal watchers loved her anyway.
It was breathtaking. She was beautiful.
She's British, she's fashionable, and she's a princess. It's all very romantic.
She's just as beautiful in person as she is in the pictures I've seen and on television.
This morning, the princess visited a homeless shelter and later opens a British toy exhibit. She'll also attend the U.S. premiere of the Welsh National Opera later tonight. The dollar is mixed in overseas trading, and London gold is off slightly at $392.70 an ounce. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is ahead 1.43 at 2339.64. Big Board volume 23.5 million shares. The time, 10 past 7.